We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
What's up, Chiefs Kingdom? Welcome to another episode of Outside the Trenches. We appreciate you for spending part of your day with us and supporting what we've got going on here at KC Sports Network. I'm BJ Kissel, joined by Tucker Franklin. Nick Leckie is on vacation, out of town, so you're stuck with Tucker and I. We're going to change up the format a little bit, do something a little different. We've got some presser audio that we're going to react to from yesterday, some clips from Andy Reid, some clips from Trent McDuffie and Patrick Mahomes as well. And so some interesting things said, but before we get to that, Tuck, how goes it this Thursday mid-morning for you?
Yeah, it's going well. Can't complain so far. We're starting to switch those gears, right? We're starting to switch the gears from talking about the Jaguars game to the Chargers game. Thursday is that day. Thursday is the day that, you know, Thursday Night Football, the week officially starts, right, for the NFL. Sundays are the NFL week. I'm excited to talk about this matchup. Big game coming up. Probably not as big as the NFL would have liked it to be, but still a big game.
Yeah, I don't think when they flexed that game, they expected, and at this point, you should just expect all the injuries for the Chargers. I mean, right, it's bad, and we'll get into that in this show, but it's been a joke every year, and now it's just kind of like, it's more than just like a funny punchline. It's like, what is going on? Didn't matter if they're in San Diego, doesn't matter if they're in LA now. They always seem to get hit by the injury bug for key players, which I know it's part of the NFL, but it always seems to bite them worse than others. But yeah, should be a fun show. I laugh when you say you turn the page on Thursdays. I used to say Tuesdays was that day, but now that we've got the breakdown, Matt Hamilton, Matt Castle breakdown stuff for us on Wednesday afternoons. You can catch that audio. It's all posted on our channels right now, but they do a great job breaking down the previous game on Wednesday. So we make it Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday evening before we transition things with some great content for you. But Tuck, you ready to get into this? Because we're not doing the blind nil. Nick's not here. I feel like it's not fair to him to do that without him. But we've got some presser clips, and one of the storylines that's kind of been transpiring for the Chiefs over the last several games, just the running back room. I know before the 49ers game, it was, you know, announced nationally. I think it was Ian Rappaport who said that Isaiah Pacheco was going to start in that game. Ended up not being a huge split there. It was kind of funny when Pacheco was asked after that game when he found out he was going to be starting, and he said, "I had no idea. You guys knew this before right. I did." Andy Reid had a chance. He was asked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who didn't get a carry in the last game, had a couple of targets, didn't play a whole lot. But here's Andy Reid reacting or responding to a question about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and kind of the running back by committee approach or the split on carries here recently with Pacheco taking more.
Andy, how did Clyde take his lower amount of playing time the other night? What'd you tell him about that and his role going forward?
I probably love about Clyde is Clyde wants to play. So I wouldn't expect anything less than that. How he handled it, though, was like a pro, but he wants to play. And I would think less of him if he didn't want to play. So it's the way that rotation goes. It's a crazy thing because we don't go in thinking that. But because of the way the series worked, short series here, and he gets in for three plays and he's out, you know, we don't have that many three and outs as an offense. And he happened to be in one of them, so the numbers got skewed. And it's kind of what happened with Pacheco. you know, before that. So, well, we're working through it. And it's not because of his ability. I mean, that's not.
Now, interesting words there from Coach Reed, and kind of what you would expect him to say in that scenario. And you do have to kind of understand some of the context of, you know, when Isaiah Pacheco got his series, like extended series, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes out there, it's a three and out. It's going to affect those numbers, but there's no doubt that they've leaned more on Isaiah Pacheco here lately. Ian Rapoport wouldn't tweet that out unless there was some message given to him that, hey, we're going to kind of transition and give Pacheco some more carries here. But it's interesting when you look the last time these two teams met. Now, granted, one carry kind of skewed these numbers, but back in week two, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the leading rusher for either team and includes the Chargers' Austin Eckler, one of the better running backs in the NFL. Clyde finished that game with 8 carries for 74 yards, had a 52 yarder for anyone who remembers that late in the game that kind of sealed it. But Tucker, there's no beating around the idea or the bush here that Isaiah Pacheco is kind of getting the lion's share of the carries right now over Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's good to hear that. I guess Clyde is handling it like a pro. I can't imagine that's an easy situation for him to be in, being a first round pick, a first round running back getting drafted and selected, and then having now a seventh round running back come in and take the lion's share of the carries. We knew this was going to be kind of, I don't want to say an issue, but it was going to be something, a storyline moving forward. And when we talked about it in the preseason, when they kept four running backs on the roster, right? They knew that there wasn't probably going to be one main guy, and there wasn't going to be a guy that they were going to rely on heavily. Running back's a position that, you know, there's a lot of variables rely on what other people are doing at the running back position. And I think Andy kind of alluded to that as well. Not only is it on the field, but it is with that rotation. And he brought up the point about Pacheco. I think last game, not having as many carries or not having as many touches as Clyde. So I think it is. I do see what he's saying with the rotation and everything like that. But you're right. It is clear that they want Pacheco to be that guy moving forward. Now, it could be because maybe a contract situation, you know, Clyde's coming up on a contract. Isaiah still has a lot of time left on his rookie deal, as him being a rookie this year. That could be part of it. Isaiah's played a lot better than Clyde has this year. I like the way he runs. I like the way that he carries the ball. He had a fumble, but got right back on the horse, and it didn't seem to affect him after that.
Yeah, I think that was a huge sign for Isaiah Pacheco in that game a couple of weeks ago with that carry and what you're talking about. But, you know, no matter what everybody on the outside says about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and who's getting the lion's share of the carries, who's the fantasy running back, all those things, regardless of Pacheco getting most of the carries, Pacheco's going to have a game or series or a stretch of games where he gets a little banged up, and that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be right back out there, and you want him confident. You want him feeling good about what he's going to do. And he's going to have moments where he has to step up, or he makes a big play or a big conversion on a third and short. We saw that against the Titans game. Like, it, there's going to be moments where you need that player to step up, and it might not mean 150 yard game and highlights and box score stats and all those things, but you're still going to need every one of those guys to step up and make plays and get it done. And a lot of the talk about the running backs wasn't necessarily last week. We just got done talking about the game against the Jags. Pacheco had 16 carries for 82 yards in that game. Clyde didn't have a carry. That wasn't just because one series went three and out that all of a sudden Clyde was going to have 16 carries in that game. They're definitely leaning on Pacheco more. But you go back to the week before and you talk about the Titans game. Now, granted, their front was their front. But that was the game that Patrick Mahomes led the team with 6 rushes for 63 yards. The rest of the running backs had 13 carries for 14 yards. And that has led a lot of people to asking the question of if this running back room is struggling, especially after Isaiah Pacheco had fumbled. It didn't take long for social media to get in there and be like, what is going on with Ronald Jones? That has kind of been a thing going around social media. Andy Reid was asked about that on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, so Ronald's a capable player, obviously. And it's the number. It all started back in training camp. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. So when you kind of lose out on the spot, now you got to wait till somebody, you know, gets banged up or sick or something of that sort, and until you get in. I mean, you're not going to dress more than 3 of them normally. But we feel very comfortable with him being in there too. So.
Yeah, so there's Andy Reid's answer on Ronald Jones. I think he's under contract. He's at the back of he's, you know, last in line right now. But if there's an opportunity for him to step up, somebody gets banged up, something happens, we want we need him on this roster to be ready to go. It's either that or, you know, do the CJ Spiller thing where you cut a guy, sign a guy, cut a guy, sign a guy, just keep him on the practice squad or keep him on the roster, I should say, and just, you know, wait for, you know, an opportunity for him to get in there and play.
Yeah, I think so. Running backs get hurt a lot in the league, and it's good to have multiple running backs that you do trust. I know he did seem to be frustrated towards the trade deadline, tweeting some cryptic tweets as players do at the trade deadline. But you got to think that this is a little bit better of a gig than what CJ Spiller had. Just he's on the active roster. He's just not active on game days.
Not on the practice squad. I misspoke there, but yeah, he's just not active on game days.
It's interesting because I don't know how that works for contracts and everything like that, or how his contract is structured if he has to play in active games, but it seems like a bit more secure of a situation for Ronald Jones. I understand he does want to play, right? And that's not easy for a guy to sit on the sidelines inactive on game days, but have to play. But it's good to have another guy at a position that has suffers a lot of injuries that can step in at any time that you need him to. I think that was the kind of the thought process keeping for. They've got three very capable guys, and if one of them does go down, they'll just throw another capable guy in there. I understand where they're coming from in that situation.
Yeah, and Ronald Jones is only 25. I just looked it up because I wasn't sure. I knew he was younger than some people would expect just because he feels like he's been around for a while. But he's only 25 years old, so I understand why he wants to get out there and play. You look at his stats last year in 2021 with the Buccaneers. He'd spent all four of his years in the NFL with the Bucs. Last year, 101 attempts, 428 yards, 4.2 yards per attempt with four touchdowns. So he played in all the games or appeared in all the games, but wasn't getting the kind of production or wasn't getting the ball as much as he had the year before. We had almost 1,000 yards, finished with 978 and 192 carries, averaged over 5 yards a carry. So he's only 2 years removed from almost being a 1,000-yard rusher and talking Ronald Jones. So again, great guy to have on your roster. I would say the same thing for him that we just talked about with Clyde. There's probably going to be a time throughout the rest of the regular season where Ronald Jones's number is going to get called, where one of these guys gets banged up. But you just talked about it. It's not going to be above Clyde, and it's not going to be above Pacheco from what we've seen from him being kind of the lead guy right now. And the only other running back, we're talking about Jerick McKinnon. And I was just looking up these stats. Tucker surprised me. Jerick McKinnon has one less target in the passing game this year than Mecole Hardman.
Wow.
Jerick McKinnon has 33 targets in the passing game, and Jerick McKinnon led the Chiefs last week against the Jags with 8 targets in that game. Now, it seems like in the second half, they're going to throw those little passes out in the flat, and he's going to get 8 yards in a big moment every single time, or the touchdowns. He is a perfect complement, perfect third down back for this team. We saw it in the playoffs last year. Everyone was excited to bring him back. And another guy that was excited about him was Patrick Mahomes. And he also spoke about the running back situation, specifically about Jerick McKinnon, when asked yesterday during media availability.
I mean, he has a great understanding of the protection plan. I mean, everything. That look that we got was kind of an unscouted look that we had gotten early in the season versus the Colts, where they use one of their linebackers to pick the tackle, and then the DN loops around. And earlier in the season, you might go with the linebacker because that's technically your guy, but he passed it off like he was an offensive lineman, man. And so for him, just knowing the protection plan, having that, like I said, that dog to step up and block a defensive end that's 6'5", 6'6", 280, and give me enough time to throw the ball downfield. I mean, that's what it takes in order to be a great team, is everybody doing their job. And it's special for a guy like that to take on that job and do such a great job of it.
So when talking about Jerick McKinnon's role, it's different than the other running backs. They're not stacked 1-2-3 in that way. He is the third down back in that way, makes big plays in the passing game. And talking about right there, and I know that there were some breakdowns I saw on social media that Mahomes is referring to that play of him passing guys off looking like an all-pro guard right there. That will give you more confidence watching film with your teammates as far as how confident you can stand there to be in the pocket, deliver the ball down the field, knowing he's out there. That's huge for the offense.
It was a stunt, I believe, he passed off too, and which is incredible for a running back. And there was some conversations. I think Matt Lane had brought this point up with Brett Coleman a couple weeks ago when they were doing KCSN update about how sometimes chip blocks can hurt tackles a little bit, how the tackles will overset and then a chip will set him on the inside and that can help. You don't really see that problem a whole lot with Jerick McKinnon. Jerick McKinnon passing off blocks. He's very responsible when it comes to the pass blocking game outside of the one penalty that was iffy on the low block. There's a rule change this year that they're emphasizing about inside the tackle box, outside the tackle box when it comes to those cut blocks like that. Outside of that, I mean, I don't think you can complain about Jerick McKinnon's pass blocking. And I think when we talked about Jerick McKinnon coming to Kansas City, that was a big thing, right? Because Clyde doesn't pass block a whole lot as a running back. Pacheco loves to get his nose dirty in the pass blocking game. When we talked to him in Vegas, he said his favorite play in college was a pass pro rep. So that's always you love to see. But he's young, and so you don't want to have to throw that guy out there in third down situations and say, okay, here's a third and 17 to win the game. We need you to pass pro and be the extra, be the sixth guy in on this. Jerick McKinnon is a perfect buffer for that, and he is a perfect third down back. He runs the ball well. He can catch the ball well. Think about that. Coming as a triple option quarterback out of Georgia Southern, he's now getting as many targets as a wide receiver. Crazy the development that Jerick McKinnon's had coming out of college, just bouncing all around, two ACL injuries. But yeah, no, I love what I've seen from Jerick McKinnon this year and in the couple years he's been in Kansas City.
All right, so let's put a bow on the running back discussion. And the reason why it's obviously they were asked about it during media availability, thought the answers were interesting, wanted to react to those. But also looking at this game against the Chargers. Now, I'm going to put this disclaimer up because this has been a thing for Andy Reid. We talked about it on a couple of the shows this week. We have talked about him going back to Philly of, well, this is an obvious time where we're going to see Andy Reid run the ball a lot more. And it rarely ever happens. And when it does, it kind of comes out of nowhere. But when you look at this Chargers defense right now and different than what they were, and we joked about the injuries before, but they just this week put two more defensive linemen on injured reserve with Atito Agbanania. I'm going to butcher that name every time I try to say
it.
So
it's a tough one.
Agbanania and Christian Covington going on injured reserve this week. They had already lost Joey Bosa and Austin Johnson, and they cut Jerry Tillery, their former first round pick. So if there's an opportunity, and I'm kind of combining things, I'm combining the obvious, all of the injuries for the Chargers, and what Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy said a couple of weeks ago with, you can't get better at the running game unless you run the damn football. He didn't say damn, and I'm paraphrasing it, but that's basically what he said. You can't get better at it unless you go do it. If there's an opportunity for the Chiefs to go run the football and to try to get right with the Chiefs running game and those guys up front in the offensive line, this could be a game where the message all week is, hey, big boys, like up front, like we're going to get after it with you guys on this turf field, which we'll get to in a minute. But we're going to run the ball down their throat because we are talking about second, third string guys in some cases outside of Khalil Mack. They're going to be out there. They're signing guys off practice squads from the Browns who are probably going to play in this game. Maybe that means they're just going to get Patrick Mahomes more time to throw the ball. The first matchup wasn't like they were lighting it up statistically. Travis Kelce was the leading receiver with 5 catches for 51 yards. And that was when they were fully healthy, obviously. But this could be a game where the Chiefs running backs in that running room really gets it going, which is why it's interesting that they were talking and the media was asking about the running back situation. I could see that happening this week, Tuck.
Absolutely. And I kind of talked about this a little bit with Ryan Tracy on KCSN Update for Thursday. What's the Chargers defense going to do? I mean, they have Derwin James. Do they bring him up to try to stop the run? Once they bring him up to try to stop the run, it's over at that point. And then you also have to factor Kadarius Toney into this whole thing of like, okay, how does he get into Kadarius Toney? Who's going to cover Travis Kelce? There's a lot that I don't think that the Chargers defense can cover, right? Offensive scheming, offensive like game planning is about putting defenses in conflict. There's going to be a lot of conflict, I think, for this Chargers defense when you talk about the backups playing on their defensive line. I do think the Chiefs really do need to assert their dominance and run the ball and just kind of run right is what I know that the Titans say that a lot, run right. Run left was with Taylor Lewan, but it's going to be interesting to see, too, Andrew Wiley dealing with that elbow issue. Is he going to come back? Who's going to play? Prince played very well in his absence, Prince Tekonogo, so be interested to see kind of how he develops. Looking at the injury report from there, Andrew Wiley was a full participant, So on Wednesday, which is a good sign on a Wednesday practice being a full participant. Andy Reid said he had a brace on. So I think that's going to be a big factor in kind of how they play. They should. We say this with asterisks around it, right? Make it an italic. I'm saying this in italics. They should run the football. We all know once we expect the Chiefs to run the football, they probably won't. It could be one of those games where they get up like 24-0, right? 24-0 early, and then they try to run the football. Andy Reid takes foot off the gas, run the football a little bit that way. I think that would be how I would like to see this game develop pretty much. Hey, sorry to interrupt, but I have to tell you about some of these strange tall boys of beer that you might see in the bottled water section of your favorite store. Well, it's not actually beer. It's a liquid mountain spring water company from the Alps, and it's called Liquid Death. And you might be wondering, Tucker, why is it called Liquid Death? Well, let me tell you, it's because they'll brutally murder your thirst. That's right. Not only are they going to brutally murder your thirst, they are going to brutally murder plastic pollution in the process. It's wonderful with their infinitely recyclable aluminum cans. They also donate 10% of their proceeds from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution. It's great. They've got four flavors. They have regular sparkling water. They've got still water, which is the mountain spring water. And they have mango. They have berry flavored. And they also have the one I like here, the severed lime. I'm going to go ahead and crack it on open. And you can get a Liquid Death at your local Target, Walmart, 7-Eleven, or find a Liquid Death retailer near you with their store locator tool at liquiddeath.com/KCSN. That's liquiddeath.com/KCSN.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Yeah, and sticking with the injuries, and that's putting a bow on the wide receiver conversation, and obviously the Chargers being banged up front. And when you look at the Chiefs, I see Andrew Wiley and him being able to practice is I don't say it's huge because it looks like Prince played pretty well in his absence, but whole different ball game when a team can game plan for you all week. And a guy like Khalil Mack has a chance to go after Patrick Mahomes. Another reason why, if it wasn't Wiley and it was going to be a Prince, if there's any kind of setback, maybe that incentivizes Andy Reid to be like, you know what? I'm not going to give 52 a chance to hit 15. So we're just going to run the ball down their throat. And it's actually easier for an offensive lineman. Pin your ears back, get after it. Don't worry about all the stunts and all the things they're going to be throwing at you, trying to keep, you know, the best quarterback to ever live from getting hit. We want to just get after it up front. We feel like we can win up front by just running the football. This could be a game for that. But if the Chiefs, and they're going to be obviously aspects of their passing game, the Chiefs wide receiver room is a little banged up, obviously, right now, too. Juju Smith-Schuster in concussion protocol, did not practice on Wednesday, and neither did Mecole Hardman with his abdomen slash illness. Marquez Valdez-Scantling with an illness did not practice for the Chiefs, and then not a receiver, but Chris LeMond's the other one who did not practice for the Chiefs. So looking at basically three heavy contributing wide receivers for the Chiefs with Mecole, Juju, and MVS not practicing for the Chiefs makes the Kadarius Toney trade that much more important going into this one. But you're looking at guys, depending upon how this plays out, especially with, I would not expect Juju to play, just to put that out there right now. I would be surprised, even if he cleared concussion protocol, when they go into that fencing kind of position, that was scary to watch and not something that I think a player should come back from a week later. Tuck, before we get to the rest, do you agree here?
Yeah, I think it's easy. I think it's an easy no play. I think it should be an automatic no play if you do have that fencing response, at least for a week, if not more. I know that there was a lot of conversation around Tua's fencing response because his concussions happened. Well, concussions, I should say, in air quotes, because it wasn't officially a concussion. But there's still a lot to come out from that.
The back injury.
Right. His back injury and his concussion happened so close together. Two concussions in like, I think it was 4 days can kill you. So I think it's a very sobering thought. And it's something that the NFL, while they have done a good job addressing concussions and they did adjust the protocol after the Tua incident, I think it's still something that they do need to add is if, hey, if you show any signs of a clear head injury, you probably need to stay out at least a week.
Yeah. And the good news for the Chiefs is they've got one of the best, and Rick Burkholder, their vice president of sports meta performance. We talked about it before. The Chiefs are lucky to have somebody like that. And he's been with Andy Reid for so long. And we talked about it before. You rarely see Chiefs players coming back from injury and then re-aggravating an injury. They're always ready to go. So it's Rick, his staff, David, Evan, all of those guys, and Tiffany and Julie. They do a phenomenal job getting the guys ready to go. So if those three guys do not play, though, you are looking at Kadarius Toney. You're looking at Sky Moore, perhaps like a Marcus Kemp coming up. But another guy that Patrick Mahomes was asked about on Wednesday is Justin Watson, the darling from training camp who's been stepping up, making plays. Here's what Patrick Mahomes had to say about Justin Watson on Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, he's made a lot of big catches and big parts in games. He does a great job of blocking. It's crazy. Like in that last game, whenever we had some guys go out there back to back, he was kind of telling guys, "Hey, you go to this position and you play, take Juju's role, you take Marquez's role," and he knows every position on the football field, and he just wants to go out there and have success. So having guys like that, and I mean, like that, we have in the whole receiving room now, I think we'll be fine of just going out there and executing the offense.
So again, we're connecting dots here. Chargers defensive line banged up, Chiefs wide receivers banged up, right tackle kind of iffy. You know, he's a full participant, but dealing with something. The recipe is here for the Chiefs to run the football. But if they do need to make some big time plays, we've seen from Justin Watson that in big moments, Patrick Mahomes is not afraid to throw it to Justin Watson or Noah Gray or any of these other guys in these high leverage situations if the defense dictates that they get the ball in that scenario.
Specifically against the Chargers too. He had that big catch. It's a play that we highlighted a lot on the breakdown. I think we've talked about it twice because we talked about the best plays during the bye week. And it was one of those that the Chiefs schemed up a way to help the pass protection to slow down Bosa and Mac. And with the way that the inside guys released and Justin Watson goes out, makes a great catch. I believe it kind of iced the game for the Chiefs, put them ahead at least, I think, in that game. Can't really remember specifically, but it was a big play for Justin Watson. Patrick Mahomes trusted him through the ball deep. I'd be interesting to see the personnel groupings. Maybe the Chiefs run with a little bit more 13 personnel. They throw all those tight ends out there. Jody Fordson getting healthy again, Noah Gray. So maybe say, okay, we feel a little bit more comfortable with our tight ends. Let's run with, you know, Justin Watson as our one
damn ball.
BJ, I'm not there yet. I'm saying they're still going to figure out ways for Patrick Mahomes to throw the ball. They need to run it, but you know they're going to throw it. You have 35, 40 times.
It's the wide receiver segment. We're still talking about run the damn ball. If there was ever a show that Nick is going to be upset that he missed, it's this one, because all the signs are pointing to the Chiefs running the football. Here's one, Tucker. Do you feel that Isaiah Pacheco will get 20 carries in this game? Ooh, we said an over-under of 20. All right, what's the over-under got to be for you to stall at least a little bit? What about 16? He had 16 last week. 16
is probably good. 16 is probably a good number. I think 20 is high. 16 and a half. Make it 15 and a half, and I'll take the over.
I think it's going to be between 16 and 20.
Yeah. I think it's going to be closer. I think 20 is too high. I don't think Andy Reid will run the ball 20 times. Now, depending on if the Chiefs come out and have like a quarter like they did against the Bucks in, what was that, 2021, where they came out and had a historic scoring half of like yards and everything like that. I think that could kind of skew things, right? If they get out to such a big lead early, they'll have a lot of carries.
Here's a better one. So not just on Pacheco, but just the running back group as a whole.
Okay.
21 and a half.
That is a good line.
And I don't know yet. I'm thinking through this as we do this, whether or not we're going to count like the jet sweeps, like the McColl getting a jet sweeping going, because that's considered a rush, or Patrick Mahomes scrambling. So much man coverage as they're playing sets itself up for.
Yeah, Mahomes, I don't know.
A little bit.
I don't know if I would count Mahomes carries.
I wouldn't. Yeah, those are not designed, but designed runs. Okay. And we'll keep the jet sweeps in there. I don't know how many they're going to do because, well, Tony. Derwin James could shut that stuff down. But yep, Kadarius Toney. And it's an extension. Like, it's kind of like running the football, but it's kind of like, you know what? We're still going to get our guys on the outside and try to make a big play.
Right.
But we'll count those 21 and a half carries for the Chiefs in this game, not including Mahomes scrambles.
I'm curious to how many plays they ran the last time they played the Chargers. Probably like around 70 something, right? So I'll go with the over. I'll feel optimistic.
She ran 54 plays last time.
Okay, so they're in 54 plays against the Chargers. So you're saying that they're gonna run 20? So 22 would be the over. 22 run plays to
30 something.
32 run play pass plays. Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take the over. I think this could. It might not be like all of a sudden they come out and run the ball 25, 30 times and it's a 50-50 split, but I definitely think that that percentage will be higher or more skewed towards running the ball than we've seen so far this season. So wish I had those numbers in front of me of what the closest has been. Some of those get skewed if they're up by a lot and they start running the football a lot at the end. Right. Kind of like what we just talked about with Clyde having the 74 yards on 8 carries. And one of those was a 52-yard carry. Can't always take those out because those big plays tend to happen and those have to be counted over the long period. But let's flip to the Chargers side, talking about their receivers being a little banged up as well. I saw this stat on social media and I apologize. I don't remember exactly who put it out there, but Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, the two top receiving targets for the Chargers, have only played 60 minutes together so far this season, because they've both been pretty banged up and injured at the same time. So 60 minutes combined, they've been on the field together. And it looks like, at least for Mike Williams, I saw a tweet from Lindsay Theory, I believe, covers the Chargers, said that when they asked if he was going to play, he said maybe with a big smile on his face. So basically saying like he's going to play. Keenan Allen, maybe be a little bit different. He tried to come back and got re-aggravated and said, I'm not coming back till I can play a full game. I'm not going to put him on a snap count because it didn't work last time they tried to do that, which was I think 3 weeks ago. And then he'd been out the last couple of weeks. So they're banged up. What does that do for the Chiefs defense and these young DBs, Tuck?
I'm really interested to see with the young DBs versus this wide receiver, because the last time these two teams played, a pretty big piece of this defense it wasn't playing in Trent McDuffie. So I'm excited to see what Trent McDuffie can do. Mike Williams is kind of everything that Trent McDuffie isn't, right? When you talk about a long guy who's kind of tall, Trent McDuffie's a little shorter arms. I don't think that will be the matchup, right? I think LeJarius Sneed obviously will go with Mike Williams, but if Keenan Allen comes back, I'm very interested to see how Trent McDuffie covers that, how Joshua Williams, how Jalen Watson cover those guys, because that secondary's been playing well. Those rookies have been playing well. This is a test with a banged up line. I think Josh Palmer's also banged up a little bit. One of their like number three or number four wide receivers.
DeAndre Carter.
Okay. So it's hard. It's going to be hard to take anything from this game, right? Because they are so banged up. But I am excited to see what Trent McDuffie can do in a divisional game. And maybe this is the game he gets a goal line interception, right? Because it's he's due.
Listen, we can make excuses about the injuries, and sometimes there's things you control. Sometimes there's things that you can't. But, you know, Rick Burkle, like I bring Rick into it again, but like Rick and his staff, like they're very much a part of the football organization. They help with wins and losses, getting these guys healthy and back out on the field. And so the players aren't the only ones winning these championships. The coaches win these championships. The support staff helps win these championships, and being the reason why the Chiefs are so successful, you have to include the support staff and all those people behind the scenes that might not be the ones scoring touchdowns, but they're the ones taking care of the guys that are scoring the touchdowns and getting them on the field and make sure when they're injured, they get them healthy and they get them back out there. They're very much a part of this. They get a Super Bowl ring just like everybody else. They're at the celebration. They're on the parade doing all that kind of stuff. So yes, I'm not going to feel bad that the Chargers don't have all their guys, because the Chargers would not feel bad if the Chiefs didn't have all their guys. It's just, you play the cards that are dealt. And at the end of the day, the best team, best season ends up mattering. But you brought up Trent McDuffie. You didn't obviously play in this last game. It was Jalen Watson, the other young cornerback, who made a big play in this one that we're all going to remember for a very, very long time. But Trent McDuffie actually had a really, really good quote with an answer during his media availability on Wednesday. Let's play that.
Talking with all the rookies, especially the Fab Five, I think a big thing that we like to do is just show who we are and prove to everybody that we can do this. I think a cool thing that the rookies have started to do is put a lot more trust and confidence in the vets that they can trust us and that we're able to make plays on the field. So for us, it's fun to be out there with everybody. Like on third downs, we have a package where there's four rookies out there. When I look back and see Brian Cook and Jay Watt on the other side and Josh, I'm like, how cool is this that everybody I came with, everybody who's learned the same lingo, we all taught each other, is all out there. I mean, it makes the game so much more fun.
The Fab Five, Tucker. I hadn't heard that reference yet for that group, but that is Brian Cook, Josh Williams, Nazi Johnson, Jalen Watson, and Trent McDuffie being the five rookie draft picks in the secondary for the Chiefs. And I love that quote, Tuck, but the more context that's given to this, Chiefs at times in those dime packages, they're putting four rookies out there. This is a defense and a team that is one of the two or three favorites to win a Super Bowl, number one team in the AFC right now. And they took and revamped their secondary and their defense with a lot of young players. And I would say they haven't missed a beat because there's going to be little hiccups. We've seen some of those so far this year, but they're getting it done, still being the best team, reloaded with a completely different group of young guys. They're going to play together for a long time. They're obviously getting along, giving each other nicknames and stuff. This is awesome. I don't know how else to say it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. No, it's super cool, and it's one of those things. Preseason, we talked about, like, hey, let's temper our expectations a little bit, right? Let's make sure that we give them some room to grow. There's going to be some bigger hiccups. We thought that it was going to come out, and the Chiefs defense was going to struggle. I know me personally, I can only really speak for myself. I thought it was going to be rough a couple few weeks, those first few weeks throughout the season. It really wasn't. And that's what's kind of so crazy about it is, they've played some teams at some opportune times, but Steve Spagnuolo has been really in his bag this year. Coordinator of the year, should he be in the conversation? Maybe. but will he be? No, he probably won't be. But I mean, he's been really.
We talked about it. Remember, like he liked veterans. He didn't like young players because they didn't necessarily understand the complex defense that he was running. And I made the point too, Tucker. I know I'm sorry to butt in here, but like, I was one of those people that was like, there are going to be hiccups with a young defense. Right. There's going to be those learning experiences early in the season. By the time you get to the last third of the season, those guys are going to have so much experience under their belt. They're not going to be thrown a lot of things. There's going to be unscouted looks and things they hadn't seen before, but they're going to get a huge learning curve. So as long as they stay confident and they stay in a learning mode and not a, oh, I screwed this up and all these people were watching and they're supposed to be the favorites and I'm the one blowing. Like, that is not part of this deal at all. They are on the same page. Like McDuffie said there, they're learning together. They learned the lingo together. Yeah. And yeah, I hadn't heard that yet. I'm sure they're looking around the NFL. There's a lot of coordinators with some teams that have surprisingly been very good. That could be in that conversation. The Chiefs have been pretty consistently good, but for at least here locally, Steve Spagnuolo deserves a ton of credit for how well he has this group playing with so many rookies, to your point. And looking at Justin Herbert, speaking of, expectations of the season, expected Justin Herbert, they're talking MVP consideration. I mean, he was being put in those upper echelon tiers, and I don't know if it's the rib injury that he suffered against the Chiefs that he kind of played through. It's been lingering. You talk to the beat writers and the people down there saying that it's still kind of an issue. His last four games, only four touchdowns with four interceptions. They've gone 2-2 over that stretch, whether it's the injury or just he wasn't quite ready to be put on that pedestal consistently. We don't know, but at the end of the day, and I know we've talked about it before, Brett Coleman, who I talk with every Wednesday, big fan of Justin Herbert. He is making throws, and Patrick Mahomes, we don't have that clip, but one of the things he said is that Justin Herbert makes throws that even he doesn't think that he could make, and he's going to flash those plays, but he still is making some mistakes and isn't quite the player that a lot of people had projected him to be going into this season.
14 touchdowns and 6 interceptions for Justin Herbert on the season. That ratio is a little bit different than it has been in years past. 38 and 15 last year, 31 and 10 in his rookie season as he was kind of thrusted into that role. You have to think that the rib injury is a lingering thing. I know it's a deal where he like can't hurt it worse, but also it's like a pain management type of deal. We kind of talked about it with Josh Allen in the same situation of his is a pain management type of deal as well. You hate to see injuries to young quarterbacks, to good players. We talk about the Chargers having injuries all the time. I mean, you hate to see injuries at all, because BJ, we've had this conversation. We're at the point now where we want every team's best shot. Like we want them with their best players. And
for sure,
it's not fun to see, you know, Justin Herbert, a guy who is a top 5 quarterback in the league to some people, have a down year and struggle with an injury. But I want to go back to that McDuffie clip, because I think something's very interesting what he says in that is the rookies trusting the veterans. Because you think about a lot of the veterans trusting the rookies, but they have to reciprocate that trust, right, back to the veterans as well. And that's something I don't think we think about a whole lot of, like, okay, trusting that the veterans trust them is something that I think has been key with McDuffie. You know, Justin Reed's been a big part of that secondary as well. We don't talk about him a whole lot, which is maybe a good thing that we don't talk about Justin Reed a whole lot. But I think that he's been a very good welcomed addition to that secondary when it comes to the veterans. But yeah, really love what the rookies have shown so far this season in that secondary. And the whole revampedness of the defense is exciting because they do have so many more years together.
Yeah, obviously a lot of this has to do, I'm looking at some numbers for Herbert to put a bow on this one as well before we move on to the final segment, but his yards per attempt, 4 weeks ago, last 4 games, it was Denver Broncos 4.2 yards per attempt, Seattle 5.7, Atlanta 5.7, and San Francisco 5.6, and you look at the first 6 games of the season, or excuse me, the first 5 games of the season in comparison, he didn't have a game below 6.7 yards per attempt. And again, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, who he's throwing the ball to is going to matter. Mike Williams, guy, you just throw the ball up, he's going to go high point it and jump ball over somebody. Chiefs fans have seen that plenty from Mike Williams during their matchups. But it's definitely over the last 4 weeks been something that has been an issue for them. So if Mike Williams is back, expect them to push the ball down the field. But if Mike Williams doesn't play in this game for whatever reason or isn't 100%, that's been kind of the thing. That's not that big play offense that you'd come to expect, especially from a guy with the arm talent that we see from Justin Herbert. But if the Chargers have any chance of winning this game, it is going to be Justin Herbert delivering the ball down the field and keeping up, because they're not going to stop the Chiefs from scoring. They do not. They're too banged up on the defensive side. I don't see a scenario in which the Chargers can win this game and not score at least 26, 27 points. It's going to take at least that many to win this one. It goes back to the original point I bring at the top of the show. The Chiefs don't turn the ball over. I don't know, unless it's a special teams thing, whole different discussion we could do an entire podcast on. But in general, if the Chiefs don't turn the ball over, I don't think going possession for possession, the Chargers can keep up with the Chiefs. It's probably an obvious statement at this point and probably case for a lot of the games the Chiefs play, but I just don't see it happening.
The line for this game is set at 6. And I don't know if that's enough. 6 points. Yeah, it has.
Yeah.
So it's at 6 now. I'm looking at kind of some of the trends, and on our friends at DraftKings, you can see kind of the percent of money who's placing more money where. More money are placing it on the Chiefs. 69% of the money is where that's at. So I think that's interesting with that line, 6 points. When I talked to Ryan Tracy about it, he thinks that at 16 is probably more of a better line. When you start to look at these two teams, how they stack up, it's a shame that kind of is going to be this way for this game. A big game in terms of the AFC. If the Chiefs do win it, they all but lock up the AFC West when you look at how many games they have left. They still have both games against the Broncos left, which is kind of crazy to think about, that the Chiefs could kind of unofficially lock up the AFC West without
Broncos. I called it a de facto AFC West championship. They're going to have a three-game – they win this game as a three-game lead in the division. I don't see them not – I don't see a team like the Broncos all of a sudden figuring it out after they already kind of get – they traded their best – second-best defensive player. Patrick Surtain Jr. Right. is their best defensive player. But Bradley Chubb, trading him away was kind of a waving the white flag to me. It was kind of like an oopsie with the Russell Wilson trade, which is going to be fun to talk about as a Chiefs fan for the next few years because – he's going to be there and he's going to be their quarterback. So it's going to be something. Might have a new head coach, but definitely going to be something to talk about. I don't see a team catching the Chiefs. If the Chiefs win this game, have a three-game division with a tiebreaker on the team in second place. Broncos have three wins right now. The Chiefs would have eight. Like, right. I don't see it happening.
Well, it's a three-game lead with, I believe, seven games left. So, I mean, three with seven left with both wins against the team in second place. Might as well just give it to them right now. Mathematically, they won't have it clinched, but I mean, it'd be hard pressed to otherwise.
And then all you Chiefs content creators out there, now's about the time you can start going and collecting all of those clips from back in free agency. Go start keeping all those receipts, put those together, start organizing all of that, because the content coming out when the Chiefs win the division is going to be legendary across Chiefs Kingdom. I will do my part to go and find all of these. I've said I will be insufferable when they win because of all the amount of shit talking that was taking place around teams within the division, fans of the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chargers, doing everything they could, emptying the piggy bank per se in free agency, and they still can't get it done and basically failed in like historic fashion in a lot of ways because of the amount of resources they put in to making these moves. And you talk about Davante Adams going to the Raiders and what's happened with them.
They're broke.
They're cutting all their player. Like, it's a mess over there with the Raiders. But yeah, let's move on to the final segment. This one is kind of fun, kind of interesting, because it's been kind of a thing. It's kind of like the players all got together and it's like, hey, we're going to make a point to talk about this. Saw Cooper Kupp with the Rams for his injury, which now saying that out loud, I don't know if it has anything to do with where it's being played. I saw that injury. I don't think it didn't have anything to do with the turf. I don't believe because he tweeted this before that, but guys talking about not wanting to play on artificial turf and playing on real grass. Now, Andy Reid was at, we'll start with Andy Reid's comments. When he was asked about turf versus grass. Let's run that right now. This was yesterday during media availability.
It's a different health and safety issue from concussions, but SoFi Stadium's turf has been in the crosshairs a lot. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand on artificial turf, natural grass?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I prefer natural grass. I've listened to all the studies, the density studies. I've seen all the different compounds that they put into I still like grass, natural grass. The way our league does it, I mean, I've seen some fields that I probably go, let's go artificial on. But for the most part, the guys that take care of these fields in the league do a nice job. And the grass fields, I'm saying. And the turf, I mean, they make it as good as they can possibly make it with the turf, with the artificial turf. But I would prefer regular grass.
Got a definitive statement from Andy Reid on a question there from AP's Dave Scaretta with a great question that leads to a lot of really good conversation across the league with some stuff that we talked about. Some players have been talking about DK Metcalf's injury with the Seahawks seems to be somewhat turf related. And a lot of it has to do with SoFi Stadium and this $1 billion stadium having this crap turf that has getting players injured. And Chiefs fans probably very familiar with the New Heights podcast, the number one football podcast in the world. Pretty much the second that it came out with Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. And they were both pretty adamant during their show talking about it, about what they prefer. Let's run that clip right now from Travis and Jason Kelce's show, New Heights.
All NFL games should be played on grass fields.
Take care of your players, man.
It is a joke.
Hate playing on turf. I think it's silly. The ground's harder when you hit it. More concussions happen on turf because of how the players' helmets hit the ground. Some cleats grab more. Some cleats sit on top of the turf differently to make it more of an unstable surface, which puts more pressure and like strain on your joints.
Getting scientific. Okay.
I do not play around with this shit. I count every single game preseason, how many games I got on turf, just so I can mentally prepare. I'd rather practice in sleet, snow, thunderstorm with a chance of getting struck by lightning than to run inside on the turf.
In college, I loved turf. I preferred turf.
High school, I thought turf was the coolest shit ever.
You felt so fast. And then you'd slide on it, and it would rip the entire first layer of your skin off.
I just wish that we knew how Travis Kelce really felt about turf.
Right. Yeah, no, no veiled statement from Andy Reid or Travis Kelce there. And the NFLPA was running a campaign on Twitter, hashtag safer fields. If you follow the NFLPA on Twitter, I'm sure you saw this because I believe it was the Saturday before last Sunday. They were retweeting a bunch of just player tweets that with hashtag safer fields, just getting it on the timeline. This has been an issue for a long time, right? I believe I saw somebody tweet out that a big reason that Arrowhead has turf now is because of Joe Montana when he came to Kansas City in what year, whatever year that was, 93 maybe. Yep. And look at that. That was off the top of the dome.
Not a baby. Nate Taylor, friend of KCSN. Tuesday guest on KCSN Update put that out there. I've never heard that before. Neither. Until he put that out there.
No, I thought that was very interesting that he said, no, I want to play on natural grass. They said, all right, yes, sir. We will get you a natural grass field. So, yeah.
You hear people talk about it with SoFi now. The stadium that I always heard people in the field was Indy. That was the one that guys hated playing on. If you remember the game a few years ago where Alex Smith got his head hit and it was going to be a concussion. And they said it was an ear thing, which a little strange at the time. But like that had everything to do with that turf. I know guys hated playing on that. And for anybody who's ever been up to training camp or everyone who's been to the Chiefs practice facility, we knew that Andy Reid didn't like turf before because they don't practice on field turf. They've got a field turf field at the Chiefs practice facility that they do not use for anything except when like they do the flag football, like youth stuff, and the kids come out there and they use that field to run around. They have grass fields that they practice on, and the other one just kind of sits there. It's one that Mitch Holtis walks back and forth on doing his walks, watching practice during OTAs. That's basically Mitch's field at this point, Mitch and the flag football team's field. I used to walk over and like walk back and forth with him talking about whatever we had going on or, you know, storylines, whatever it was. But they have that. And anyone who's ever been up to training camp, they use it for like the Play 60 stuff. The stadium field is turf at Missouri Western. And I think maybe Reed's first year is before I got there in 2013, they used it for like a night practice once because it set the record for most people at a training camp practice. And that's why I always knew when they keep track of like, when have we had the most people, that it was never going to surpass that because they use the stadium for the one and they've never done it again. The entire time I was with the Chiefs, they never use that field for players because they don't want players running around on turf. And Travis Kelce just explained why.
Yeah. The point he made was funny of like in high school, you love turf. Like you loved playing on turf in high school. You're like, this is the coolest thing ever. But like after you play that game on turf, you're like, that wasn't actually very fun. Now I've got burns on my stuff. I was an offensive lineman, right? I was cutting people and my jersey was popping up and I've got burns all over my stomach because I'm cutting people. So it's like, yeah, it's cool in practice, but like, it's not really that fun to play on. Like and then you got the turf pellets everywhere.
The other one I remember, and I think they've gone to grass since then, because I think they fixed it right after this, but Arizona a number of years ago, we played there. I remember walking around with Dave Tobe, and it was actually Anthony Sherman before the game, and they were looking at the seams down. And I think I even took a picture and like tweeted it out. They're like, yeah, go ahead. Like, put them on blast. Like, this is bad. Walking around, and they were getting officials over looking at it. It was awful. I mean, there were 3 to 4 inch gaps on the field between the hashes where the seams weren't coming together. And it became such an ordeal pregame that game that I think they went ahead and fixed it right away. But there's no excuse for Kroenke and those guys with some of these fields. And I think Arizona now, there's a few teams that are a few places that do it where they're literally like, take the like in the domes, they'll take the grass and like put it on some rollers and like sit it out in the sun and then bring it back in before the game. So it's playing on real turf. I think, the Raiders' new stadium, I believe, does. I could be wrong about that. I think they do that. But for Kroenke in a $1 billion stadium, knowing that maybe it's a few hundred thousand, whatever it is, I'm just making numbers up, but they've got to take it, to Kelsey's point, take care of your players. And it's a horrible look for the NFL and all the money that they're making, that these kinds of storylines and players will come out and speak very openly about, take care of us. Like, this is bad.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting too, I saw some of these tweets that are coming through, is NFL stadiums are very quick to, okay, a European soccer team is coming to play in a preseason match. Let's make sure that they have grass. They're quick to do that. But once it comes to their actual playing surfaces for the team that they host, turf is fine. Soccer players won't play on turf. I mean, obviously, yeah. They don't like it. And basically what's happening now is players are saying, we don't want to play on turf. We want to play on grass. And I'm sure we'll see some field changes within this offseason.
Yeah, or a Shakira concert. You know, all kinds of reasons that all kinds of things that pop in. But luckily for the Chiefs, they're obviously going to have grass out on their field. But Travis Hogan, the system that they got underneath, when I was at the Chiefs, I wrote an article once on like the heated field system that they had underneath that, because you go down there and even when like everything's frozen and all of that, like the grass is, let's say it's warm, but it's soft because they turn those heaters and those heating coils underneath the field. And the water, like the tubes, like we sent pictures out. You can go back and find them on social media of the system that the Chiefs have underneath their field. It's crazy how much effort goes into that. And the Chiefs did that with an older stadium at Arrowhead. And you build these brand new stadiums and you can't do anything similar. Like right. it's a bad look. But what's not a bad look is, we appreciate everybody for spending part of your day with us listening to this episode of Outside the Trenches. Tuck, what do you have before we say bye to everybody?
I just want to say thank you to Five Farms, Charlie Hustle, for supporting us with great merch. BJ's wearing the hoodie. I'm wearing the shirt. Go check that out. Link in the description below, whether you're watching on YouTube or the podcast. Got to make sure that you go get that hoodie. Incredibly comfortable. The only time I've taken it off was when BJ and I are wearing it at the same time. That's the only time I take it off.
Yes. No, we appreciate that. And yeah, it's good weather for a hoodie. It's a good weather for some hot chocolate and some Five Farms. If you like drinks, like your coffee, your hot chocolate, throw a little Five Farms Irish cream. It's not been bashful about saying this, even going back to before Five Farms sponsored this show, that it's my favorite product from Holiday Distillery. I absolutely love it.
You know what?
Not even planned. Always got some not too far from me. So go grab that. That's what it looks like at the stores. You will not be disappointed, I promise you. But we appreciate, again, you for spending part of your day with us. Please hit that like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or follow us on social media. And for everybody that's hung around to the very end of the show, we've got a couple special announcements coming up over the next couple of days. I'm going to leave it there. Say we got some cool stuff coming up. One's with the foundation, and maybe adding some new channel, the old network. We'll have that announced here over the next 24 hours or so. So anyway, appreciate you all. Have a great day, and we'll have plenty more content getting you ready for Chiefs and Chargers on Sunday night.